Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Let's look at verse 1. We are in the new theme, Living in Victory. And this morning you're going to look at Luke chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the third book of the New Testament. It's right there for you. Let's look at verse 1. And the Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him into a high mountain, show him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, it shall be thine. And Jesus said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him in the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bid thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, temptation is all around us. Lord, even you, in your humanity, you were tempted by the devil. Lord, we have a world that is tempting us. We have an enemy called Satan. They continually whisper in our ears. Lord, we have a flesh that is weak, that is tempted, Lord, to go in the ways of temptation. Lord, help us as your children today that we resist temptation, that we be victorious over temptation. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we continue. We started last week on this series, Living in Victory. Well, let me tell you, if you are a Christian here this morning, and you are defeated, discouraged, beaten down, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. Right. You know why? Because God gave you everything you need to be victorious, to live in victory. You are saved. The devil has no power over you. This world has no power over you. Circumstances have no power over you. Even temptation have no power over you. You can resist it because you have the Spirit of God in you to give you that power to overcome that. So we can resist them. Don't say like, I cannot. No, you can. I can, you can. So this morning we're going to continue our theme, Living in Victory. I believe the Christian life ought to be a life of victory. Even in the midst of trials, tribulations, we can experience victory. Even if you can be crying and be victorious. My wife, I told the teenagers this morning, my wife sometimes laughs so hard that she cries. And I said, oh, honey, how you manage that? I don't know how to do that. this subject is very real. I mean, temptation to every person or every human being on the face of the earth. We all experience temptation, don't we? We all tempted. We all experience temptation. So temptation is something that all of us face in our challenge every single day. You can be minding your own business and temptation hits you right in the forehead. Boom! And you get victory over that. And it comes another one on the left side. They keep coming at you. Temptation is something that we experience daily, every single day. So let me remind you this morning that temptation comes in very different ways. There is a temptation over eating. Temptation overeating, right? There's a temptation oversleeping. Some people just oversleep. There's a temptation of not wanting to go to work. Oh, I am tempted about that every day. But by the grace of God, I get out of bed and go to work. There's a temptation not to come into church, reading your Bible, or meditating God's word, or even prayer. There's a temptation of alcohol, drugs, and many other things that causes many harm on us. There's a temptation of being rude, unkind, uneven, unforgiving. But for the child of God, there's such a thing as victory over all those temptations. If we intend to have victory in the Christian life and the Lord Jesus Christ, there is one thing that we need to do. We need to trust God. We need to trust His Word. We need to trust that we can be victorious over temptation. We have an adversary who's going to fight in every step of the way against you to get you to be tempted. He's going to tempt you. He tempted Jesus, and He will tempt you. So since the beginning of time, Satan has never wanted God's people to know the joy and the victory of a right relationship with Him. I was talking about this morning with the teenagers about joy, the joy of the Lord, and happiness. If you go to the dictionary, joy is expressed or described as happiness. No. Joy is anything that's not, is different than happiness. Happiness is based on circumstances because of our feelings and emotions. If things go good, you're happy. If things go bad, hey, I'm not happy. You ever heard people say, oh, how are you doing? I'm not happy with you. You know, circumstances are not good, so we're not happy. It's a feeling, it's an emotion. But joy comes from the Lord. You can be in the midst of trial, tribulation. You can be facing all kinds of things. You can be in prison for what I'm saying and be joyful where you are, having the joy of the Lord in there. So, because it's not a feeling, it's a gift from God. That's why the world does not understand joy and what it is. So we have an adversary, like I said, Satan, who wants to suck that joy out of you and wants to tempt you to sin, to do wrong. Satan has never wanted God's people, like I said, to know the joy and the victory of a right relationship with God. Satan does not want you to experience victory today as well. 1 Peter 5:8 says, the devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And you know what he wants to do to you? He wants to chew you up. He wants to kill your testimony. And he's always around. And you know what? If you see lions, I'm talking about real lions right now, you know who they attack? They're very patient animals. And they just go around and around. And when they see one that is away from the herd or see one that is sick, they're going to attack that one. Because that one cannot defend himself. I don't know if you like to watch some of the channels that have animals stuff. I'll watch it, and it just catches your eye. You can see it. Satan is the same way. So now when Jesus, in his humanity, suffered temptation and trials, just like we do, he suffered temptation not only to prove his deity and perfection, but he also to be an example for us when we are tempted. The way he faced Satan is the way we ought to face him. We face him with what? The very word of God. So the Bible especially says that Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. The steps that led Jesus to temptation were not only planted, but were also directed by the Spirit of God. There was a purpose for his temptation. This is a lesson here for us to learn this morning. And number one, let me give you some points here about temptation, how to be victorious over temptation. Number one, the tempted all tricks. Folks, we have an old foe that continually is after you and me. That's not a secret. All right? We have an old foe that is continually after you and me. His goal is totally to kill your testimony and to destroy you as a person. Don't even come to the idea that you can communicate with him. There's no communication with Satan, okay? He's not going to communicate with you. He's stubborn and he's going to keep going at you because he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you as a person. He wants to destroy you as a Christian. He wants to destroy you as a married person. He wants to keep going at it until he sits back and he says, ha, 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 look what I did. And that's what he does. Now, there are certain ways that Satan works when he tempts God's people. There is a pattern in his behavior. For an example, I remember When I play sports, I don't know if some of you play sports. I play sports and organized sports, and I remember my coach. And when we especially almost every game, but especially when it's in very important games or playoff games, and I mean he would dissect the other team. When at times that I play, we didn't have TVs and stuff. He had everything in paper. He dissected the other thing. He knew the weakness, and he would tell us what to do in order for us to give us a chance to win. And many times it came true. I remember one time we played soccer. So we had one time this. I used to play middle field, in the middle of the field. If you know soccer, you know the middle of the field. I play right there, center field. I play there. And he said to me today, he said, you're not going to play in that position. I'm going to have you being everywhere in the field. This guy, he looked at me and with a nod. This guy, wherever he goes, you follow him. And I said, well, why? I said, look, whenever he gets the ball, get him down. I said, all right. This guy's so dangerous. I mean, if we're going to lose, we're going to lose with this fellow right there. Whenever he goes, follow him. Well, and I'm looking from the field at the sidelines. He goes, now I go after the guy. The guy didn't score one goal. We won the game. But I mean, why? Because it was, he studied. He understood. And he gave us that message to us. Let me tell you something. We have a Bible. We can study the Word of God so we can know the enemy. And let me tell you, the enemy knows you too. Amen. He knows your weakness. He knows where to get you. Yep. He knows those things. So the truth is he knows you and he goes after you. So letter A, the temptation over physical needs. Look at verse 3 right there in our text. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. So the devil began enticing Jesus with a temptation that appealed to his physical appetite. Satan approached Jesus in a moment of what? Weakness. And let me tell you, he does the same thing to you and me. So you're discouraged, you're beaten down, you're going through some trials and tribulations of life, and here he comes and whispers in your ears. Because, you know, at that moment you're weak. And that moment you're so discouraged, you say, oh, it looks attractive. And as what happened, you fall. And he laughs at us because now we are defeated. So Satan's approached Jesus in a moment of weakness. Jesus was hungry after 40 days of fasting in a hot, barren Judean desert. Can you imagine? It is significant that Satan does not usually attack strength like a roaring lion. He looks for the opportunities of weakness like a lion. He looks for the weak one and he goes after them. Now, don't you know that in the 21st century, the same foe who tempted Jesus is walking around seeking how he can devour you? Right. Let me tell you, folks, Satan is after you. Amen. And he's after me. He's after each one of us, and when he sees an opportunity, he comes and attacks. You see, it is a dangerous time when we, in our lives as Christians, when we are tired, sick, and hungry. That is a time when we can sink in self-pity and often make mistakes. It is easy to rationalize doing what we want to do and letting down our guards. And when we are physically weak, the danger is that when we do, we fall prey. Oh, she does not understand. Okay. She does not understand. Okay. So, but anyway, it is dangerous we fall prey into this old enemy. And let me tell you, he's not using old tricks. New tricks, using the same old tricks. It works every time. The first sin that Satan tempted Jesus was with the sin of measuring at his, and looking at his power right here. Okay? Jesus was tired and he was weak right there. So the power that Jesus Christ had was not to be used of selfishly, but as a demonstration of his deity. So his power was to glorify God. Jesus did everything according to the will of his Father, and physically right there, he suffered temptation. And let me tell you, you and I, we suffer temptation each and every day. Your temptation might not be mine. But let me tell you, we all tempted. Yeah. And he knows your weakness and he knows my weakness. He knows. He knows if your weakness is overeating. He knows if your weakness is gossiping. He knows a few weaknesses, trashing people. He knows a few weaknesses, oversleeping. He knows a few weaknesses, laziness. I don't know what your weakness is, but let me tell you this. He knows. And he goes right through that. He waits and waits because he wants to catch you. Letter B, we see temptation for power. The temptation for power. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. But look at the end of, in the middle of verse 6, it says, and the devil said unto him, all this power I will give thee. You see that? All this power I will give thee and the glory of them. See, the thirst for power is the problem of so many people. Many people fall in this temptation of power. And it's something that grips the human heart. We want to be known. We want people to look at us and say, wow, look at that person. And it gets our mind. It's like a cancer. It contaminates our mind, our body, everything about us because we want to be known. Most people want to be known. Satan shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth and challenged Jesus to worship him. And let me tell you, how many people bow down to somebody else just to get where they want to go? How many people do that? You want me to bow down to you? I even pray to you if you want me to, but I know I'm going to be better than you in the end. And they don't care just to get where they want to go. Oh, goodness, how many people destroy other people just to get where they want to be? The thirst for power. The temptation is there. When somebody say, oh, no, I'm doing right. I don't want to do wrong. And somebody wave the dollars in front of your nose. And you go, oh, yeah, okay. What do you want me to do? The power. People want power. The thirst for power is a problem of so many people. You see, those who have great thirst for power and privilege come in name or the privilege come in name would have no problem worshiping Satan at all. Many probably would say that it is an easy thing to do. I remember watching a movie one time of this guy. He said, Satan shows up in the scene. He didn't know it was Satan. He shows up in the scene, and Satan said to him, so what would you like to be? What do you like? And this guy said, I would like, oh, if I could. And he describes what the things that he wanted. And poop, he sees himself there. I mean, it's just a movie anyway. But I see the thirst for power was there. And in the end, he said, I wish I'd have nothing of this. When he was broken. And it happens to a lot of people. You see, the problem of this is this. A lot of people have great thirst for power. And it didn't do anything to get it. When it comes to the end of life, many regret the ways they went. Because in the way there, they destroy so many people. They cut wounds in so many people's hearts to get where they are, and they die empty. Often Christians trade something of eternal value for more a short-term pleasure. It is important to realize that not every promotion, not every success, not every business opportunity is from the Lord. Many times a man or a woman who was once committed to following God's purpose and plan is drawn away from church and God because of a new job or a new business opportunity. I say to you, if that opens, pray before you make that decision. If you move away, make sure you look for a church where God's word is preached and proclaimed before you even make that move. Otherwise, you're just following your own intuitions. You're not following God. Because I believe God wants his children to be in his house with the rest of the family, not isolated somewhere. We must be wise and evaluate the opportunities that we are presented to us from an eternal standpoint so that we are not led to trade eternal rewards for temporal success. And let me tell you what happens. People live for the here and now. The blessings of now or the pleasures of now, they don't look at the consequences that come down the line. Let us see. We see the temptation of pride. Look what it says in verse 9. And he brought him into Jerusalem and set him in the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, I shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Oh my goodness, right here. The final temptation was the temptation of pride here. Satan carried Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. Historians tell us that the pinnacle was about 20 70 feet above the floor of the Kidron Valley. If Jesus jumped in the side of the crowd below, it would be caught up by the angels, of course. It would certainly attract the attention of so many people. And so if you're the Son of God, just do that. The temptation was a way for Jesus to gain the attention of the Jews and perhaps get them to claim him as the Messiah without following the plans of God. Let me tell you, folks, many Christians live their lives and they don't look at the plans that God have for them. They follow their own plans. They listen to the whispers of Satan. And Jesus, and the Lord says to you and me, child, I have plans for you. I want you to do this for me and do this for me. Why are you going that way? You know why? Because we listen to the whispers of the enemy. And sometimes the whispers sound so good that we just turn the other way. Number two, we see the power of the Scriptures. The power of the Scriptures. Look at verse 4 to verse 12 right here. So temptation is not a strange thing to any of us. Okay? All of us suffer from some type of temptation from time to time. You may at this very moment be being tempted by something. You might be even thinking like, oh, when I get out of here, where in the world am I going to eat? Oh, what kind of restaurant am I going to go? So you're already tempted by the food. I don't like this food. So anyway, so also keep in mind that temptation comes, like I said, in all types of shapes and forms. Keep in mind that the temptation doesn't come from God. God does not tempt his children. Let me say, actually, go to James chapter 1, verse 13. I want you to see that. Very clear what the Bible teaches right here. James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. I want you to look at this. Look what the Bible says. In verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Is that clear? Is that clear what God says right here? God says, I don't tempt any man. God doesn't tempt us. He tries us to see how faithful we are to him. Circumstances of life, he tries us to see how strong is our faith. Because let me tell you this, it is in trial times, it is in hard times that the measure of our faith comes to the surface. And we show with those around us how faithful we are to the Lord. But temptation doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy, Satan. Okay, how can we have victory over temptation? How can we resist temptation and come out of it victorious? How can we stand and resist temptation? Well, for an example, Joseph stayed. If Joseph stayed, he would fall into temptation. When Joseph ran, what happened? He was victorious. Let me tell you something. Sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to run as fast as we can. Because sometimes we think, I can handle. No, you cannot. I can take it. I'm a big man. I can take it. No, you cannot. We are fragile, we are weak, and we fall. And Satan laughs at it after. There is a very way to overcome temptation. Run from it. Fight it with the word of God. The temptation of Jesus not only shows us the pattern Satan used to tempt us to sin, but also shows us how to properly respond to defend temptation. From temptation. Jesus shows that pattern. Listen, this is how you do when he comes to you. It's not hard to understand that if Satan tempted Jesus, he's going to come after you as well. So let A, we see Scripture promise a way of escape. Scripture promise a way of escape. When it comes to temptation, the Lord didn't leave us alone. Ain't that good? Isn't that good that God doesn't say, oh, do the best you can down there, my children. I watch from up here. You do the best you can. I'll be praying for you. Is that what we say for one another? Oh, brother, oh, sister, you know, I really feel bad for you. I'll be praying for you. You know what we do? We never pray. We forget. We never pray. Listen, God doesn't say that. God gave us a way to escape. God says, like, child, I love you so much. Here's my way to escape. You got my word. Here's an example of how I did it. You can do it. You can be victorious. Every time temptation comes, it is a way to escape. However, the temptation is, if it is anger, pride, lust, ungodliness, ungodly friends, whatever it is, you can be victorious. Someone said, the reason most people have trouble resisting temptation is that they don't want to discourage it completely. That's a mistake. They want to have some type of victory, but they're still enticed by it. And they keep going back to it. And they say, well, I'm praying about it. Listen, how long are you going to pray about it? Do something about it, right? Yeah. I'm still praying about it. 2 years later, I'm praying about it. And Lord in heaven says, child, come on, I already heard so many times. Come on, get over. Stand up. We must respond properly and promptly when we are tempted. The temptation we are faced are common to others. I mean, the temptation we face in mind is common to others. No one is strange to temptation. We are not being pushed. I don't even know what I wrote here. So we can choose to do right and face temptation the right way, or we can just let it go and let us be defeated by Satan. But let me tell you, our God, our Heavenly Father, tells us we can be victorious over temptation. So that is that woman or that man in a workplace that caused you to lose. You know how you have to be victorious over that? Take your eyes off that person. It was a friend, a Christian man, that told me, he said, I have a big problem with temptation. I said, what's the temptation? You want to share with me? And he said, yes. He said, when I drive in the highway, I feel like my head is going like this. And I said, why are you doing that? You try to relax your neck, or you're trying to relax in the car? He goes, no. Every time I see a lady, I got tempted to look. And I said to him, you know what you need to do? Look forward. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Look at the car in front of you. He said, if it was no cars, look at the pavement. And you know what he did? 2 weeks later, he said, oh, goodness, every time I try to look to the sides, I remember your words. I was like, good. I said, good. Half a year later, I saw him. He's not here in the church, so he was in another church. Half a year later, he says to me, you know what? Praise the Lord, I have victory over that. Every time, right now, doesn't bother me anymore. And praise the Lord for that. We can overcome temptation. Doesn't matter how strong. Let me tell you, the more you let it go, the stronger it gets on you. Yep. That's the problem. The more we let it go, the stronger it gets a grip on you, and you have a hard time getting out of it. But let me tell you, the more we fight it, eventually it becomes easy. It doesn't bother you no more. We have to get away from this. Let it be, we see Scripture provide a way of escape. Look at verse 13. It says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. You see that? Look at that word, a season. You see what happens? So you fight the devil. You fight him hard. He walks away from you. Guess what? After a season, guess who's back again? He's back again. With the same temptation or another, but he's going to come back. He's not going to give up. You know why? Because he's your enemy. He doesn't want to talk to you. He doesn't want to say, hey, let's sit on your sofa. Let's have some coffee over this. In my case, have some tea over this. Well, let's talk about, how can I tempt you? He's not going to say that. He's going to come to you with all vengeance. And he's going to come after you. So the word of God does more than we just promised to escape. He also reveals his word. And how can we overcome temptation? Our way to escape is found in the scriptures. Let me tell you this. A Christian person had to have the menu. I tell you what, we live in a very technological world. Oh, I can't take my Bible to work. Yes, you can. Take it in your phone. Yes, you can. If you're tempted, good night. I need to go over there and look at those scriptures and resist this. Oh, Satan, I have the verse for you today. I do, right here. And that's how you resist it. And if someone, and that's not even a Christian, is tempted, you guys say, hey, I got a verse for you. Look at this. And let me tell you, it works many times. If we have a specific problem, we can find the Bible verse that applies to that problem, because folks, is nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. Number three, you see the promise to the child of God. God has a message for us when we're facing temptation. He does not leave us alone to face an overpowering enemy, because Satan is a lot stronger than we are. is there with us and has made us sure that his promise to us that he can lead us to victory. We can have victory over temptation. Folks, there is victory in Jesus. Again, I want to remind you that we live from victory, not from defeat. We were defeated foes. We were the enemies of God. We made peace with God. No, we live in victory. Don't let sin defeat you. Letter A, there is victory in the application of the word. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but the very word of God." See how important it is? Let me tell you, I said this Saturday morning. I said this, it'd be nice if you come to a point you don't have to use the Bible, but the Bible is written in your heart. Then you can quote it out and say, "It is written, Satan. You have no victory over me, but I can have victory over you." And we rejoice in the Lord because it says, "Satan, I kick you to the wayside today." Bang! Because I resist. And he comes again, we kick him again and say, "You know what? I'm a soldier of the cross. I walk victoriously."
Amen.
Wow. Sometimes we think that, you know, oh, poor me, I'm a Christian. I might walk like this. Oh, my goodness. You know, I'm a victor. Oh, no! We are the soldiers of the cross. We are to walk in victory. We are to stand for God. And we say to Satan, "You're not going to defeat me. I'll put you to the side." We have to believe that God's word is true. We have to in order to do that. Folks, the Bible is more than just a book. Some people call it an old book. No, no, no. The Bible is the word of the living God. It's the word of our Heavenly Father for us. It's a love letter to us right here to teach us, to instruct us, to guide us through life. Don't just read it, but read it and meditate it, chew on it, eat the words and learn from it, make application of it. If you make application in those moments of temptation, believe me, you're going to come out victorious. You will. The Bible is God's complete revelation to man and doesn't need to be added or taken out. It's a complete word of God. And let me tell you, you and I have everything we need to be victorious in this world. It doesn't matter what temptation you may face. Because let me tell you, if you tell me about your weakness, I look at him and I say, "That's silly," because it's not my weakness. If I tell you about my weakness, you go, "Oh, goodness, I don't have a problem with that." Because we different people. We have different emotions. We think different. We act different. So my weakness might not be your weakness. Your weakness is not my weakness. But let me tell you, we all have weakness. You know what? And Satan used those weaknesses. He knows, and he comes after you. And he catches you. So victory only comes when we apply the truths we learned in a way in the Word of God and as a way to escape temptation. We'll never be mature, victorious Christians until we claim and appropriate the Word of God to defeat the temptations we face. And let me tell you, folks, temptations come on every side. Yeah. All the time, every day, constantly, we are tempted by something. These eyes of ours, sometimes we should have like blinders, you know, walk around and blind, cover eyes, because these eyes of ours causes our mind to justify sin and our heart to say it's okay, and we begin to justify, we tempt and we go, we don't just walk through, we dive into it. May we learn from Jesus' example. Hungry, tired, weak, he stood up and he said to Satan, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Wow, strong words. Do I give you letter B? There is victory in using the word. Did I give you that? There's victory in using the word. I just quote the verses, verse 8. That is interesting that Jesus doesn't answer Satan's questions or requests. He doesn't answer that. But instead, he reminds them of the power and the authority of the word of God. Let me tell you, same thing to us. Somebody asks you a question and is a tempting question. You don't have to answer that question. Because you can make a statement otherwise to that person. You can do that. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't answer or try to communicate, try to rationalize with Satan. He did not do that. What example for us to follow? Why did Jesus use the word of God against Satan and not weapons of war? Jesus believed in the power and the authority of the Word of God. Jesus believed that the Word of God is a two-edged sword. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I want you to see something there about what how powerful is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12. Look what the Bible says there about the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see how powerful God's Word is? That's how powerful. Very well described here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. That's how we have to use God's Word as our sword, as our weapon. Against whom? The enemy, Satan. When God speaks to us through His Word, He's not just giving us information to make us smarter. Some people are very involved in analyzing the Bible. While there is a certain nothing wrong about getting to educate ourselves in the Word of God, we have to understand there got to be application of the Word of God. Otherwise, you and I will be defeated foes. Listen, it's good to be a student of the Word. It's good to memorize Scripture. It's good to know the Bible. But let me tell you, make application of the Bible. Apply it to your daily life and every situation of life, how you communicate with people, how you talk with people, how everything you do in your life, the way you think, how you rationalize, how you respond to people's questions. Use the Word of God. Otherwise, you're going to be defeated. That unforgiving spirit is going to be there. That temptation to trash people, to talk bad about people, is going to be there. You have no victory over that unless we make application of God's Word. Got to make application. Let us see, we see there is victory in resisting Satan. You know, some people think that Satan is this little cartoon guy that shows on TV with the little horns and the tail, and is a red guy, and it seems like insignificant because he shows up, was that, on the left side or the right side? I don't know which side. And the guy goes, and he's whispering, and he goes, I don't like what you said. Boop. Listen, that dude is more powerful than we think. That is not a little guy with a little tail and a little, you know, a little red, little small thing that we can boop anytime we want. He's a powerful being. And he uses the temptation. He whispers on your ear because your ears is close to where? Your mind. So if he whispers in your ear, your mind is somewhere right here, not very far. And he contaminates your mind with his words, smooth words. And you begin to go, oh, yeah, oh, okay. Don't you see sometimes in some movies, they hear the word and their eyes turn black and they changed? Like, there is so much truth on that, even though it's just a movie. But that's what he does, and our mind begins to think differently. It's temptation. But let me tell you, there is victory in resisting Satan. And it said, Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, I shall not tempt the Lord thy God. See, Jesus said, tell Satan right here that he is the Lord, he is God, and he's just a created being. And it said, there's no way God is going to worship you. You don't tempt your God. But what we see right here is the example how Jesus uses the very Word of God to fight temptation. Folks, let me tell you this. You walk out of these doors, and temptation is going to come. Your eye is going to look at something. It's going to tempt your heart and mind. And let me tell you, the only way you're going to have victory is using the Word of God. Otherwise, you're going to justify it in your mind, and you're going to let it grow in your heart. And the more it grows, the worse it gets. The stronger the grip is in your heart, and you cannot let it go. He tempts us to give up on God, His Word, His church, His people. He tempts us to give up on our family. He tempts us to give up on prayer. He tempts us to look at sin with the justifying eyes. He tempts us to look at the wrong things, speak the wrong things, and do the wrong things. And sometimes its temptation is very strong. But it doesn't matter how strong temptation may be, we can be victorious over any type of temptation, no matter what it is. And let me tell you, I'm talking to the child of God here, because the child of God is a possessor of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can give you the power to overcome those things and remind you of those things that you need to do. A person that's not a Christian doesn't have that power within. Do you want to be victorious over temptation? I believe you do. I want to use the example that Jesus left us in his word. Use the word of God every time you are tempted, and you will experience victory over your temptations. Amen. Someone once said, I don't want a rotten apple. Stay out of the devil's arches right here. Stay out of it. You see, in order for us to have victory over the temptation, it is that avoid certain groups, bad friends, certain environments, certain companies. Sometimes you need to remove ourselves from certain places because those things are the cause that causes us to fall into temptation. And a lot of times, like if you weaken certain aspects and you find yourself there, more than likely you will. Let me give you an example. There was a lady that was involved.